Good afternoon. I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Memphis Pink Palace Museum. Germantown Community Theater is about to open the final show of its 46th season. That's happening this Friday when they bring on stage Arsenic and Old Lace. It runs weekends through July the 1st, and I truly cannot think of a better person to direct this show. Cinephile that he is. John Rohn is at the helm of this production. He joins me in the studio along with Brian Everson, who's playing the role of Mortimer Brewster. Nice to have you all here.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
This is a classic. I knew this as a film before I realized it had been a play.
Indeed. I think most people do.
Yeah.
But if you had been around in New York in 1941 when this opened on Broadway,
uh-huh.
It was the Hamilton of its day. It ran and ran. It ran for 1,444 shows.
Good heavens.
Don't you wish you had a piece of that action?
Sure do. Gosh.
And of course, then the film rights had been purchased, but the agreement was that they could go ahead and make the film, but they couldn't release it until after the show had closed.
Huh.
So there was a couple of years after that movie was made before it came out. And many people may know that Boris Karloff's name is referenced in the play many times.
Uh-huh.
And indeed, in the New York production, he played the part of Jonathan Brewster. And because, though, of his intrinsic connection with the play and that he was a big name drawing people in,
sure.
They wouldn't let him out of his contract to go to Hollywood for a couple of months to film that.
What?
The two ladies and some of the other cast, not Cary Grant, of course, he
right.
was not in the stage play, but they wouldn't let Karloff out, so Raymond Massey played it in the film.
Right.
But that was Karloff's role, and he continued to play it on the Broadway, and I do believe that maybe there's even a TV version that has him in it.
Oh, my goodness. But how unfair is that to him? That's so mean.
Well, I know, but it's Broadway, and you've got to get those bucks coming in, the people in the seats, you know.
I guess so. Well, I'm excited about it, and people probably do remember seeing the movie. I love watching it around Halloween
uh-huh.
because mm-hmm. you see all the leaves blowing across
yep.
the cemetery grounds
yep.
and all
yep.
that kind of thing. But it transfers well to the stage.
Apparently, because I'm hard-pressed to find someone who hasn't done it already, either in their college or their high school or their in their amateur theater or professional regional theater. It is done all the time, and which makes me think sometime, well, why do we keep doing this play? And of course, the answer is so obvious, is because it's one of those works, it's a little work of genius that is entertaining no matter how old it is.
Right.
And whatever your skill set level is, if you can just make words come out of your mouth and the words that were written for the play, it's just an entertaining show.
Well, let's remind people about the plot if they don't remember it.
Well, all right. Now, I'll shut up in a minute because I want Brian to talk. But Brian, if you've ever seen The Munsters, for example, and know that there was a wacky family with a kind of a normal person in it.
Right, right, right.
Right. Well, Brian purports to be the normal person in a family of, he has two brothers. One is a delusional who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt. And another is maybe delusional, but he is actively a homicidal maniac. And then there are two lovely aunts. They're darling aunts for these boys who live in a lovely home in Brooklyn, and they have taken it upon as their charity project, mm-hmm. you know, their outreach program, if you will, to end the lonely suffering of elderly men who have no home, no family, no loved one, by giving them a little glass of elderberry wine filled with all manner of poison.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give them they make sure they understand what religion they are beforehand.
Right.
And then they give them a proper burial in their cellar, aided by Brother Teddy, who, as President Roosevelt, thinks he's digging locks for the Panama Canal.
So it all weaves in nicely, the deceit.
Or what? It does. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you're playing Mortimer Brewster, the part that was made famous on film by Cary Grant. This is what I wonder about your role. Have you lost like 15 pounds? It seems like Mortimer just runs from here to there and up and down and all over the place, and he's just in a constant state of frenzy.
I am able to wring my shirt out after every show, and probably torture my castmates with my sweat. But it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of running, and there's a lot of jumping up and down and getting tied up and breaking loose, and but it is a lot of fun. Other people get to run up and down stairs shouting random things, so it's just a lot happening from the start to the end. There's action. So,
and you know, you've got a pretty girl waiting on you, and you have to put up with all of these other things before you can actually meet her and fall in love. And
that's true. Well, I would say the show starts quite lovely between myself and Elaine, and things quickly go downhill upon finding nefarious things around the house. So
that window box, darn it.
That window box.
It's an ancient Greek drama, you see. There is a family, it seems to have a curse on it. Uh-huh. And once Mortimer realizes the depth of the curse, then he has to make a great sacrifice. And he has to part from the woman that he loves, because it is not fair to carry that on into someone else's life. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Well, it's a beautiful thing.
How will it work out, though, I wonder?
Well, I think that Mortimer is obviously saddled with a whole lot of pressure and problems and things with his family, but you're the sane one, and you deserve true love. You just do.
You know, at the start, I think Mortimer's very sane, but as the play goes on, I don't know that he's that sane anymore. It's kind of a descent into madness for poor Mortimer. So,
well, is that the thing, though, about directing this show? You've got to keep that comedic pace going. I mean, it's just like a freight train once it starts.
Yes, indeed. And I will say this. Whenever I go and approach an old play like this, I sometimes go into it with some degree of foot dragging a little bit, you know? Uh-huh. And but then once I get into it, it is so much fun to do, and it is so much fun to arrange the situations and make them play just right, because you know there are all these jokes and gags and things that you've just got to hit on them. And when you get finally everybody attuned and timed, it is the most satisfying thing in the world. And of course, it is so hard, because you may recall last fall, Brian was in 12 Angry Jurors.
Right,
what
I
a
saw
dramatic
that.
Play.
Yes.
You know? But that was a piece of cake compared to doing a show that you're supposed to, you know, you can't let the audience know you're trying to be funny.
Exactly.
You can't let none of the artifice that you're doing must be visible. And so trying to get that joke out there without letting the people know that you're telling a joke, but you want them to laugh at it, it's a real challenge and a lot of fun to do.
Well, so you have Brian as Mortimer, and you've put together a great cast for the aunts. I mean, the whole cast is terrific, I think.
Well, yes. May I read out the list of worthies who
yes.
have taken part in this?
Please
okay.
do.
All right. So Randall Beasley is playing Officer O'Hara, the man who has the officer who has written a play and wants Brian, who is a theater critic, to help him finish it. Parker Dinwiddie is playing Brother Teddy Roosevelt. Shannon Elsey is Dr. Einstein, you know, Peter Lorre
yes.
from the movie. All right. Terry Feigelson is playing Martha, the sort of the meeker of the two sisters.
Uh-huh.
And Jolynn Palmer is playing Abby, who is slightly older and runs things a little bit more. A nice fellow named B.C. Jennings is playing two parts. He's Mr. Gibbs, a potential victim. And then he comes in later as a police lieutenant. Jolynn's dear husband, Jim Palmer, is in this. He's also plays Dr. Harper, the minister next door, whose daughter is in love with Mortimer. And he returns later as another potential victim, a Mr. Witherspoon of Happydale, the home where you and I are going to go. And then we have some police officers. We have Brett Ray and Jason Reed playing the two officers who come in every day and salute President Roosevelt, and Then lastly, we have Paul Scott, who is beautiful as Jonathan, the Boris Karloff character.
Oh, yes.
And then the lovely Hayley Townsend as Elaine, the love interest.
Well, it's a wonderful cast, and I want everybody to get their tickets to see Arsenic and Old Lace. It opens tonight and runs through July 1st. Fridays and Saturday curtain is at 8, Sunday matinee at 2:30. Tickets adults $24, seniors and students $17, and you can get your tickets by going to gctcomeplay.org or by calling the box office at 453-7447. Arsenic and Old Lace, it's a classic. You've seen the movie. See the stage version. Again, at Germantown Community Theater, directed by John Roan and starring as Mortimer Brewster, Brian Everson, and they've been my guests today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having
Thank you.
Checking on the